Again, Book of Revelation, chapter 13, and verse 1 and verse 2 again tonight. Revelation, chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says here in this place, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." In messages past, out of these two verses, we've talked about John as he observed, as he stood on the sand of the sea. He wasn't in the water. He was on the sand of the sea watching. And, of course, the waters there represent the tumultuous multitude of this world and how that the Antichrist is able to use all the confusion and all the uproar that's going on to rise up. Now, we've also seen that the Antichrist, he does come up out of the sea. That's also true. We also read to you where that the Antichrist, this beast, comes up out of the bottomless pit. And so, he is of Satan. We have talked about the 7 heads. We've talked about the 10 horns. We've talked about the 10 crowns, I think, because that's one crown upon each of the 10 horns. You remember the difference between the kings or between the heads and the horns? Remember the difference? You know, the 7 heads, they were, when John was prophesying, the heads are when the Antichrist will rule. There's a difference in them, all right? And we showed you that, I think it was last time. Tonight, there's two things that, if I can, I want to get to. And two things. Number one is this name of blasphemy. We want to talk about that. But before we talk about that one, we want to talk about the latter part of verse 2, where that the dragon is the one that gives this beast his power and his seat and his great authority. So you'll see here in verse 2 that the dragon has three things. He has his power, he has his seat, and he has his great authority. He has ability and power. That is dynamite. He has earth-shattering things that he can do. He has his seat. That is, he has a throne. And the Bible talks about that throne in 1 Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians chapter 2, where that he does have a throne that he's going to sit on. And then he has great authority. And it's just not that he has authority, but he has great authority. And it's far-reaching, the authority that he has. Now, as we look at this tonight, last time, as we were talking about the 7 heads and the 10 horns, because last time was more about the 10 horns, but we understand that toward the end of this age in which we're living, Satan will gain more and more power. And he is gaining right now more and more power. There's things happening in this world that we would say would never, ever, ever happen. And yet, it is happening before our very eyes. We find glimpses of how people are desiring to worship someone and not God. Even in our country, you've heard over the news just lately, and there's been 2 episodes of this that I know about, maybe some more, I don't know, about how that people are singing praises to Obama as if he is some kind of God. You know, it's right to give honor to your president. I'm going to say that again because we need to remember to do that. Now, this man is our president. I agree with hardly anything he says. But he's still our president. And we need to honor him because he is our president. At the same time, he is not God. No man is. And it is wrong to sing praises unto any man. It is wrong to do that. We need to sing praises unto God because that's where our deliverance is. And we know that that's so. But I'm just showing you that because what's happening in our world today is that people are looking for someone to deliver them. They're looking for something. They're looking for some kind of high power, but not God. And that's where we're at today. And you know that that's so. You know, it was a long, long time ago that people believed that if you just get out of the way, I'll take care of myself. Well, I kind of still got that notion. But more and more people today, they don't want that. They want somebody else to take care of them. And I know there comes a place in there somewhere where that we need to take care of each other. So I understand that. You know, and if I'm trying to pick something up, I like my boys to come along and pick it up for me. I like that. Yep, we do like that, don't we? We do like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with me helping them either. And so I'm not saying that we're just an island here. We don't help each other because we do. But just get out of the way. But people today say, no, you come and do it for me, I'll just sit down here. And I can give you a bunch of examples about that. But you think of all the work and the labor that's gone into Satan's kingdom. You think about what this Bible is telling us here about this seven heads and the ten horns and about this beast rising up out of the sea, all the turmoil. We read in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 13 about this multicultural beast that's all together. And of course, Daniel, when he saw the beast, he saw them as separate because at that point they were separate. They were separate kingdoms. But they're coming together, and that's what John is seeing, is in this arising beast of the Antichrist. And you think of all the work that goes into making that kingdom, it ought to last a while. How long is Satan going to get to rule this world? And he is going to rule this world. In 3.5 years, it's going to be a time that's going to be bad for him and bad for us. We're going to be gone, but it's going to be bad for everybody on this earth. It's not going to last very long at all. Satan, and here's the thing. In verse 2, when it talks about here that the dragon, the devil, that's who the dragon is, gives him his power and his seat and his great authority, anything that Satan does is toward destruction. You just can mark it down. If Satan's in it, it's going to be destroyed. You mark it down. Anything, it doesn't make any difference what it is. Satan never has anything any good. He always dresses it up like it's the best in the West and the biggest part of the East. But what it is, it's death. That's what it is. Remember that first cigarette and how grown up you were? Oh boy, I'm grown up now. I can suck on a cigarette. I can suck smoke now. I'm really smart. I mean, that's pretty dumb. But Satan pictures that. What? Wow, the Marlboro guy riding a camel. He's riding his horse. You know? And he's a rugged guy, and he's got his cigarette hanging out of his mouth and lasso, you know, and he's tough. Of course, they don't show the fellow a bit later on when he's got emphysema and he's got cancer and all that. They don't show all that stuff. They like the alcohol. They picture that as something real neat that you can do and go to parties and have a good time. But they don't show the drunker lead in the gutter, do they? As advertisements. The gambling down here. Now that's wicked. But those billboards don't show the people in poverty because they've gambled away their life savings. They don't tell you about that. See, Satan is just that way. He is destruction. Jesus, on the other hand, always builds up. That's just the way it is. That is the principle of it all. I got to get on this. I won't get to it. The dragon gives the Antichrist the power, the seat, and the authority to rule. In Daniel chapter 7, and we read this passage last time, we read it a couple times, but in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, in verse 25, this passage again confirms that it is the Antichrist receives his power from somebody. And he does that. It said, and he shall speak great words. And this here is talking about the final kingdom that Daniel saw after the ten horns. Of course, the ten horns is what helps bring about the rise of the Antichrist. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That's what's going to happen. Say, wear out. That is, just wear down. I mean, constant barrage of sin and wickedness will just wear down the people of God. That's what he's saying here. And think to change times and laws. Now, he's not going to be able to do it. He's going to think about it, but he's not going to be able to change it because you don't change God's principles. And look what it says now. And they shall be given into his hands until the time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. And Satan is given this. Now, somebody might not think too much about that, but it is absolutely the way it is. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 24 is another passage that talks about exactly the same thing. And it talks here about the Antichrist kingdom and his great power and his authority. In verse 20. In verse 24, and I'll just read this one verse. And his power shall be mighty. Now that confirms again Revelation 13, 2. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. So you can see there in verse 24 that the power that he has is not by his own, because he's given that power by the devil himself. In verse 25, and through his policy shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand. And that's talking about witchcraft and satanic signs and wonders is what he's going to do. And that's confirmed in Revelation 13 as well, because the Bible says there in that place, I think it's Revelation 13 in verse 13. He makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. That's a great thing. But we see today an increase of all that paganism and an increase of all the signs and the wonders. Now people are wanting signs and wonders. The Bible says here in verse 25 of Daniel chapter 8, he shall magnify himself in his heart. He shall think he's really something. And by peace shall destroy many. There's been a lot of people destroyed by war, but there's going to be more destroyed by this peace. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. Now that's Christ. But he shall be broken without hand. So the Lord is where our help is. That is where it is. Now, Satan has a kingdom. And what we see in Revelation 13 is the fulfilling of the satanic kingdom. If you would, go back in the book of Matthew chapter 4, and we'll find here that Satan offered this kingdom to the Lord. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. And there's a couple of places here that we want to look. This is during the temptations of Christ. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, so I'm just reading just a part of this. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, verse 9, Satan said to Christ, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Do you reckon that Satan could really do that? Do you think that Satan had that authority? Sure he did. Listen, look what Jesus said in verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. In other words, go away. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus did not say, Satan, you're offering what you cannot deliver. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. And he does rule this world to a part now. But Satan has a kingdom, and he says, I have it to give. Look in the book of Luke, chapter 4. And this confirms, again, what I'm saying here in this place. Luke, chapter 4, and verse 6. This, again, is speaking about the temptation of Christ. Luke, chapter 4, and verse 6. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. That gives us some more confirmation that Satan has a kingdom, that he has a rule, he has authority, he has a seat, and he will give it to whomsoever he will. And he offered it to Christ. He said in verse 7, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan indeed does have a kingdom. And he would have given that to Christ, but boy, what a swap that would have been. I mean, that would have been like swapping everything in the world for a handful of garbage. I mean, that's what it would have been. And that's, of course, is no good at all. Satan does have a kingdom. If you would, go back in the book of Daniel chapter 7. Again. Daniel chapter 7. Now there's another side we want to look at. Satan has a kingdom. Let me tell you, God has one too. Jesus Christ does. Now in verse 13, Daniel 7:13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, Jesus is going to get a kingdom too. But it's totally different. You remember what I said a while ago? That Satan, everything about him reeks destruction. Everything about him does. But everything about Jesus is for salvation and help and hope. That's why we ought to be hopeful people. Because we are on the winning side. And we've been put there. And we ought to be thankful for it. Absolutely. So look in the book of Psalms 2 again about just the fact that Christ has a kingdom. In Psalms 2, let's see verse 8. Let's read verse 6, I think, might clarify some of this. Psalms 2, verse 6. And in this place, in verse 2, the kings of the earth are rising up against the Lord and all that stuff. And in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's talking about Christ. Then he says, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's talking about the kingdom of Christ. So you understand that Satan does have an authority. He does have great authority, I think, more than we can know about. But his authority is always toward destruction. Always is. God's authority, God's yielding ourselves to God, will always bring us peace and tranquility. Even if the situation you're in is not like you want it to be. But yielding to the devil will always just get you in more trouble. You ever tried to lie your way out of something? Yeah, what little kid hasn't? And all of us have been little kids. We did grow out of that, didn't we? Okay. But you know, when you start lying, you lie to your parents and they say to you, look at me in the eye. I just hated that. Yeah. That's why I told it to my kids. Look me in the eye. You knew. Yeah, then they try to lie out of that one. You just get yourself a great big pile of stuff. And we need to just yield ourselves to the Lord, and it's always going to be better. Even though you don't like the situation you're in, it'll be better. Just yield to the Lord. God will bless and God will honor that. That's for sure. Well, the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, read here about this kingdom. We've talked about the satanic kingdom and how he has some power. We've not really got into that power in tonight's lesson. We don't intend to. We just wanted to show you that he does have great authority. He has power and he's got a seat. Here is the seat. Now, I don't want you to get discouraged when you look at this world. I don't want you to get discouraged. This world is not following God. A lot of people don't want to hear about Him. There's a lot of things that people want to do that leave God out. A lot of people want to curse God. You can look at the world and first thing you know, you'll be just really, really down in the dumps. You don't need to do that. You lift up your eyes upon high. Lift up your eyes and understand that the end of it is going to be victory. And it's going to be victory not because of our strength or our unity. It's going to be because of Jesus Christ is going to come and He's the one that's going to take care of it. And you think about it. You think about this. We were saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it all. We had to come as a sinner to the Lord. But when we came, what did we bring to Him? A bunch of sin. Blackened. We're just filthy. We got nothing to brag about except Jesus. And when it comes time for this deliverance from this wicked world, it's going to be all Jesus. We are saved by grace through faith, and salvation is, and the Spirit is by grace. Salvation of the life is by grace. Salvation of this old body is by grace. It's what Jesus is going to do for us. And so when you read scriptures like this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you can look around at the world in which we're living, and it's just like you can just say, oh, this rule of the devil is just like it's there. It's like it's right on us. But see, it's always darkest just before the dawn. And if you don't believe that, you need to stay up and watch it. Because it's absolutely the truth. I used to work graveyard shift, so I know what that is. Just before that sun popped up, it seemed like it really did get dark out. But as soon as that sun came up, boy, I mean, it's daylight then. And the darkness was gone. And that's what's going to happen. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1, it said, "Now we beseech you, brethren." See, this word beseech is like begging. "By the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him." There's where we're going. This is our hope right here. "That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand," or that you missed it. Don't think about that, because it's not going to happen. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." That is, a falling away from the truth. And there's other scriptures that talk about that. "That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" So what he's saying here, don't be discouraged. Don't be. You just keep looking up. You just keep looking up. The Lord is going to bring deliverance. He is going to bring deliverance. Point number two in this message is the destruction of Satan's kingdom. We want to touch on this, just a few things about it. And here, it's an amazing thing to me that Satan has been working on his kingdom for 6,000 years. Don't you think of all the effort he puts into it? How long does he work on it? 6,000 years! How long does it last? 3.5! Whoa! I think y'all built it out of better stuff. Well, he had nothing else. Because he's all destruction. That's all he is. And he can't even keep things together. He cannot. Because he's completely, absolutely full of destruction. Go back in the book of Daniel chapter 2 and I'll show you this. And you've seen this, I know. But just put it together. In Daniel chapter 2, and beginning in verse 41. Well, verse 40. Daniel 2, verse 40. "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron." Now, this is the Antichrist kingdom. "For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Now, we got a good example of this out on Cedar Hill Lane. We don't have dirt out our place. Well, we got maybe an inch on the top. But the rest of it's clay. And you start digging down in that clay, and you know what? Clay is it? Clay is not a very good building material at all. It gets wet, it swells up, it dries out, it shrinks. It's not a very good building material at all. But in the middle of all that clay we got out there, every now and then, you'll roll out a big old rock. And that rock is as hard as a brick. I mean, harder than a brick. I mean, it's just hard as it can be. But it won't stick to the clay, and the clay won't hardly stick to it. Now, down at Bauxite, where I'm from, Now down there, they got rocks. I mean, they got rocks so big down there in places that's all some of them hills are, is just rocks, and you're not digging in them. I mean, a pine tree will grow in it somehow. But up here, it's just clay and mixed up. What it's talking about here is that there's going to be some internal conflicts in the Antichrist kingdom that is going to cause the Antichrist kingdom to eat and to devour itself and to destroy itself. Now, and you think about it, you go back in the Bible, and many, many, many times when the enemy would attack the nation of Israel, they would wind up killing themselves. How many times did that happen? I don't want to read all of those places to you, because you know, you remember those. Many times it happened. And that's what's going to happen in the Antichrist kingdom. They're going to begin to eat themselves and to devour themselves up. Now, let me show you this. In the book of Revelation, chapter 17. And Revelation chapter 17, we used this passage last time, and this is where I came into this and added this part in because of the message last Wednesday night. In verse 12, Revelation 17, verse 12, it said, "The ten horns shall out sorcerer 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast." All right, so these 10 horns, they come in later. They come in, they're not even here now, I don't think. They may be, but we may be that close. I don't know. Verse 13, "These have one mind. They give their power and strength unto the beast." So that tells you where they come from. And of course, Daniel talks about the 10 horns and then the 3 horns and that. That's how that's going to work in. The Antichrist is going to come to power because of this chain of command of authority that's been given from Satan. Verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." Of course, verse 14 gives us the end of it, because that's what we're telling you. We got victory. We got victory. We just need to stand with the stuff and trust the Lord. God's going to take care of us, and if we die, He's going to take care of us. If we run out of money, He's going to take care of us. If we starve to death, He's still going to take care of us. He's going to do that. So we need to trust the Lord and obey His commandments and His laws and just trust the Lord. In verse 15, He said this, and He said unto me, "The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth," and that's talking about pagan Babylon, the religious part, where the whore sitteth, "are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." Look in verse 15 here. Verse 16, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast," now these ones are going to bring in that power, "these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled." And here's an amazing thing, and you think about how Satan does, and he always does this. He is a destroyer. From the beginning, he is a destroyer. Now, the pagan Babylon, here in Revelation 17 and verse 5, this, it says that she is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I mean, this is the source of all the paganism of the entire world. It's what it is. Somebody says, "Well, that's Catholicism." Well, what Catholicism has actually done has, under the name of Christ, has brought together all the paganism and all of that false doctrine and false worship, named it after the name of Christ, and adopted that. That's what Catholicism has actually done. Because all their doctrines, you trace them back, it goes back to paganism. Every bit of it does. Okay? And we can get into that, but that's where it comes from. the whore, this pagan Babylon, the Bible said there in verse 15, it says, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. This pagan Babylon is old. And for years and years and years, people have been duped into following their false doctrines. And their doctrines fill the earth. Even so today, that if, and you hear it all the time in public, that if a person is a Catholic, they're Christian. Do you suppose? Now, they may be saved, but they're not Christian. Any way you cut it. Because to be Christian is to be Christ-like. And Christ has no form of paganism in Him at all. So consider that. But in verse 16, the ten horns, which agree together to give and lend their support to the Antichrist and his kingdom, they shall hate the whore, which is a part of themselves. I mean, all this paganism, and that's what Satan is. But you see how the political side is going to try to get rid of the religious side. Well, why? Why would they want to do that? It's because Satan says, I'm going to be worshipped and not Jesus. I don't want any form of Jesus even mentioned because I'm going to kill him. That's what Satan's got on his mind. And I believe, it's my personal opinion, that before this thing is done, Satan is going to put it out that he's killed God. That's why he is going to bring fire down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men to show that he has finally conquered God. That's what that's about. But here's the thing. What is not understood by Satan is just simply how things work. Because he is a destroyer. And everything that he does is toward that which is wrong. And he tries to force things to be right. It's... But the end of it is destruction. You think about it. You think about the marriage relationship is an excellent relationship ordained by God in the Garden of Eden. But Satan perverts that with sexual promiscuity, promising everything that there is. And what does he deliver? Is disease, unwanted pregnancies, abortions, all that filth, all that wickedness, all that hurt to the people that are involved in it. You know, that's why people look at us sometimes and they say, you mean to tell me that you're going to teach your children that they need to be sexually clean just to say no? Yeah. I sure do. See, well, don't you know they can't say no? I'm going to tell you what, they know what no is. Because when they're in my house, they're going to learn what it is real quick. So they know how to suppress. And you start them out when they're little, when they're going to reach up for that little old toy that's sitting on that coffee table they're not supposed to have, and you spat them in and say, stop that, no, and they learn right away to pull that back. That's a part of that. But the world, I want to, you know, the world says you can't teach a child anything until they get to be about 4 years old. I'm saying, boy, if you wait that long, you waited too long. You got a lot of catching up to do. And there's no way you can raise a 12 or 13 year old. And this thing about kids, when they get to be teenagers, you can't handle them. That's out of the pits of hell. You need to handle them when they're little. But anyway, where am I going with that? This whore is the one, if you read in verse 18, it gives us this clue. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now you look at this. And so there is a problem here in the Antichrist kingdom about who's going to rule. There's where it is. There's a problem about who's going to rule. The Antichrist says, I'm going to rule, and nobody else. Of course, for 6,000 years, pagan Babylon has ruled the nations. And they're not going to give that up easy. And then at the very end of time, you got those 10 horns coming up. And of those 10 horns, you got the three rising up, and then the little horn coming up out of that and destroying those three and setting himself up. And everybody is struggling for the top. And the whole thing crumbles. But you know how Jesus does it? You know how Jesus does it? I want you to think about this. Who's in charge? Jesus is in charge, right? I mean, hey, this is His world, right? Do you like that or not? I mean, I like it. I like living down here. Who's in charge of this church? Independence Baptist Church. Who's in charge? Listen, it ain't me. I'm going to tell you what, it ain't you either. It's Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. And you know what? We all like that. So, well, when we going to try to figure out what to do, how are we going to figure out what to do? We don't look around at who's got the biggest mouth. Do we? No, we look around at what the Bible has to say. Amen. And if God's Word says, well, let's do it. If God's Word said, don't do that, let's not do it. So, well, how do you know about some things that's not in the Bible, like buying that 5 acres out there? How do you know about that? Here's the thing. If you want to know what the will of God is, you always got to do what the Bible says. You always got to do what you know you ought to do before you can ever have a clue about what you don't know. And always do what's in front of you first. What's right to do, do it. That way all that other take care of itself. It will. It'll just absolutely take care of itself. God will bless in those things. He'll do it. But let me read you this one. The book of Romans. This is the way God does it. And it's not like the devil does it. So there can be unity in His kingdom. You know, you think about it. I'm your pastor, right? I'm your pastor. And I love you and you love me. But do you know, the only power that I have over you is what God's Word says? And you know what? That's not my power. That's the Lord's. And if somebody else stood up here and said the same thing, you ought to follow what God said. I mean, that's it. In Romans chapter 8, I think it is. Let me find my place here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Don't you see the way God does it? It's not the way the devil does it. That's the way God does it. If you're children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Now get this. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Look at that. You know what? In Satan's kingdom, it's always fight, fight, fight. Who's the top dog? And who wants to be a dog, right? But in God's kingdom, we are joint heirs with Christ. You read the scriptures over there. The Bible talks in about the parable of the pounds and the parable of the talents, and how that He's given to us, freely given to us, abilities and strengths and things that we can use in His kingdom. And all He says for us to do is to do what He tells us to do. Don't try to be a top dog. Don't do that. Just try to do what God tells you to do. And you don't have to try to be a top dog because you're satisfied that you're obeying the Lord. And then the time is going to come when He's going to pass out rewards. And He's going to say, okay, you have 10 cities, you got 5 cities. Joint heirs with Christ. But Satan's always, he's just always kicking. And he's kicking the very folks that gave him the power. Isn't that something? That's how it is. The rule of Satan promises peace and harmony and delivers death. His kingdom is full of war, unrest, destruction, continuing misery. I got to quit 8:05. We'll take up the blasphemy of the Antichrist next time. But boy, see what a blessing it is to know the Lord. What a blessing it is. The blasphemy of the Antichrist, Lord willing, we'll cover that next time. If you're here tonight, you're lost. I want you to think about something. Of all the things that this world offers, none will ever satisfy you. None will. But Christ will. He'll give you peace beyond understanding. He'll make you happy when you're in bad situations. He'll bless you. He'll help you. He's always there. If you're lost, you come to Christ as a lost sinner, repent that you're a sinner, repent of your sins, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him save your soul. Jesus can save your soul. I pray God will bless you tonight. You come to Him. You come to Him. He'll save you. That's His promise. I pray for you. Brother Andy, would you come please? Lead us in this song, please. Let's stand if you would as we sing.